up, guys? This is FPL Mane.
How's it going, guys? It's DFS Fish, also Nick. How's everything going? How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. So, let's get right into it. So, do you watch any of the games today?
I watched, I think, what was it? Liverpool-Brighton for about 10, 15 minutes, and then I ended up having breakfast with my parents and all that kind of stuff. So I only got to catch a few of the games, a little bit of the game. But I was sweating so hard, and I was trying to stay off my phone, but it was just such a sweat. But I didn't catch any of the games, really. And I guess it was a crazy slate. That Tottenham game went berserk. There was some really, it broke the slate almost. Mahrez and Vardy went nuts, and they were very low owned. But yeah, I didn't really catch many of the games, though. How about yourself?
I got to see the first half of the games, and after the first half, I knew. I mean, you're never too sure that you're going to cash, but I mean, I knew. My lineups were off to a really good start, and I had a pretty good lead in my contest. It was just a matter of how I finished. But I mean, going into the second half, I had to leave. I had to go drive somewhere for Mother's Day, and it was a 2-hour drive. So I got to watch. I wasn't driving, fortunately, so I got to watch on my phone. I have NBC Live Sports, and I just kind of, whenever I got a goal update, I would just click on the game and kind of see what happened. And yeah, so it was crazy, man. It's just like, it seemed like the goals would come in waves. One goal would happen, and then three would follow, and there'd be a 10-minute break, and then another goal would happen, and three goals would follow. So it was wild.
Yeah, there were some stints where, like, nothing happened, and the next thing you know, when Zaha scored, I was in third place in the Wonder Strike, and I was like, oh my, this is the time. And the next thing you know, like, two more goals came in, Lamela scored, and then, like, all this, like, and I'm like, oh, there you go backwards again.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I didn't even think I was going to get a play, because Sundays are normally tough for me. Normally I go to church, and I don't get to enter a line. But today, this morning, my parents told me that, actually last night, that we're not. So I went ahead and entered contest. I mean, it was just last night that I entered the contest. And so I entered about more than half my normal volume, but a little bit more, because just because I didn't want to play the Wonder Strike. I knew it would be tough. I knew that the Wonder Strike would be tough today, given how many games there were. I just thought there was a lot of room for error, and if you didn't have one guy that was low owned, I mean, it could just hurt you. But so I just decided to go double ups and single entries, and just going straight into the lineups. For the line that I provided, me and Halsey, we made a line. It was actually very good. Put up 180, but it would have put up more. We had Joe Allen, who put up like 1 point because he got hurt and subbed off early. But that line was a very low risk. Let me pull it up. It was a very low risk lineup.
I saw that one. It was a great line.
My personal line, so the last few weeks, I decided, so instead of entering in double ups and having my customers have to avoid me, I'm just going to make a line that's like personal for me. And I'll also play the line that I provide, but I play the one that I make, which is variation, and double ups and single entry contests. And so this is the line we provided. We had Arnautovic, who me and Halsey said he was a lock for our contest, and he did very well, put up 40 something points. Jordan IU, it was the Swansea script. They had to win. We picked the wrong IU this time. Normally it's the right IU, but just, not today. We had Salah. Obviously, Salah was a lock. Diame, you see Joe Allen got hurt, but Diame was a great play with 20 peripheral points. We knew he was going to hit that 20 barrier playing against Chelsea. Wan-Bissaka with 25, Jagielka and Lursel. So it was a solid line. My personal line put up 213, and it was a little bit more risky, but it did the trick, and I can pull that up right now. And it actually got first place in every contest. I played double ups and single entry. Let's see if I can try to find it.
I actually got it pulled up right now if you want me to.
You can do it.
So you had, I'll just, and then you can, you had Harry Kane, Arnautovic, Salah, Heidman, Mkhitaryan, Mings, Wan-Biaksa, and Romeo. And that was in the $12 single entry that you finished with 213 and finished first by 3 points.
Thank you. My phone's being slow. But, yeah, Hinman or whatever his name is, Hinman. I saw him starting in for 4,000, and normally that holding midfield spot for Bournemouth, like Lewis Cook, he puts up an average around 16, Sermon, 13, 14. So I was thinking he was going to hit maybe 13 to 16 points. For 4K, that was going to be hard to beat. So I put him in there, but it turns out he was a terrible play. He had one chance created, and that was half of his points. But, I mean, that 4K allowed me to pay up for other people. I was surprised about Mkhitaryan for 6.5 points, how he's been playing recently. I was surprised. He played the whole game, too.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. I was thinking about playing Arsenal today, and I was looking at a few other players, but then I was just like, I felt like there was almost like a few games that I just targeted and like left the rest of them off the slate. And I just was like telling myself, if those games go off, too bad. But I just, it's like I wanted to close into a few games, and I had most of the line, every single lineup besides two, and it was $1 and $2 single entries. I thought I was going to get fancy with those lines, and I knew Salah was a lock, and you know, I knew he was going to be chalk too. Like it was just, but it's just like when a player throws up 50 points, the only thing that beat that was Mahrez, but I'm not even kicking myself over that because my top line personally was in the Wonder Strike. I had Arnautovic, who had 44.25. I had Wilfred Zaha that had 33.25. I had Salah with 50.75. Tom Carroll at 13.5. Shelvey at 22.25. Wan-Biaksa at 25.75. Wes Morgan at 11. And Ospina at 23.5. Carroll and Morgan took down, I mean, you know, this line had 224, 271, won it. But, you know, where I lost all the points was Van Aanholt. And, like, you know, the guy in first place had over almost around 70 points from his defenders. So, you know, that's where I lost all my, but like, I'm not kicking myself over a 224, 11th place finish. I punted Carroll because I saw that. I was looking on a fantasy football scout, and it said he was taking like set pieces and stuff like that. And I'm like you said, the Swansea script, maybe he gets an assist or something like that. And then Andy King scores a goal. And I was like, oh my, I actually played Andy King in one line too. And I think that was actually my second best line. And, you know, I punted in the midfield with Jonjo Shelvey too. I thought, you know, he had a pretty decent floor, and he ended up with an assist and, you know, some chances created, interceptions, you know, he threw up a decent, I thought he was an okay play at 6K, you know, because I was able to then pay down for him and Carroll, who they both hit decent value. And then I got Salah, Zaha, and Arnautovic that just totally racked up the points for me and ended up taking 11th in the Wonder Strike. And like you said, though, it was going to take a crazy line to win it. And I tried to create some crazy lines playing some weird players that I usually, like Carroll, I would never play really. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just like, it's a 10-game slate. You're going to have to try to get – and he was actually 7.5% owned. So people were on him. That's pretty high owned for a 10-game slate, like, you know, 7.5% compared to other midfielders. So, I had Ospina in net too. I was really I played him because, I don't know, I just felt my gut – it was my gut instinct. Like, I knew I just was going with him. He had a decent Huddersfield, you know. They still rolled out a 5-back, which actually – it kind of ticked me off a little bit. That's why I also avoided Arsenal because – like, I don't know what it was. It was just, like, the way Huddersfield has been playing lately. I just felt like, you know, even – they played a 5. They were guaranteed – they're not in the relegation zone anymore. They're not even going to get relegated, and he still played a 5-back, which was just amazing to me. I'm like, you couldn't, like, you know, send out a 4-3-3 or something like that and try to go for some goals. You know, I was like, no, you're going to send out a 5-back. So I, like, was just like, all right, I'm going to fade off Arsenal and just try to, you know – hit at other spots that might be a little bit higher scoring, and it ended up working out pretty well. I ended up with 3x ROI today. I played $34 and made around 100, so I can't complain too much.
Go back to Carroll. I mean, he was highly touted by some of the sharks that I saw. I mean, I was looking at my double ups. Chunky one I think is the best DFS EPL player, I think personally. And he had Tom Carroll on his double ups and single entries. So I mean, it was definitely, I mean, it was a smart play, main creator for Swansea. They had to win. I can see why you played him. Smart play. I mean, he put up a decent amount. Yeah, he could have put up more, but yeah, I mean, it was a smart play. And for I was thinking about Arsenal. I mean, everyone was like, I was reading on a few, like, RotoWire and stuff like that, and it seemed like everyone was like, Arsenal's gonna kill today. This is Wenger's last game. Like, everyone's gonna have a big game. So, but I was never really that high on Arsenal. I mean, they're away, and I don't know. I had one line, so I played two lines. I played three lineups. One was the provider lineup, and then the other two, one I had the line that I told you that took down the tournament, and then I did another line in the $7 entry because it's two entries, and all I did was just change Aubameyang or Kane to Aubameyang just in case Aubameyang went off, and I mean, he got his goal. But yeah, it seemed like, I guess, Arsenal struggled today in the attack. With, I mean, Mkhitaryan was playing on the wing and only put up 6.5. But I didn't watch the game. But it must have been a midfield battle, not much attack.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. And speaking of, I wanted to actually bring up the line that I ended up giving out and that you retweeted, and I kind of wanted to walk through that line of it was Delafoy, Kane, Salah, Jonjo Shelvey, Shaqiri, Mawson, Morgan, and Butland. The funny part is I created a podcast on Friday and I was going to post it yesterday. And then the audio file got corrupted or something. And I was so high on Jack Butland today, because I knew Swansea was just going to throw everything at the net. And you know how Stoke's defense is in the first place. They allow, you know, they've allowed the most goals in the Prem this year, I believe. So I was just like, you know what? Yeah. Butland, he could easily throw up 9 saves or something like he did today, and he doesn't need the clean sheet. He ended up being the best goalie, 28. He had 28 points, and I was so high on him. And I'm glad that this line actually worked out. And you texted me about Shaqiri, and that like rattled me so much because I had him in the Wonder Strike when I was in 70th, yeah, the 70th place lineup. And if he scores, that's a 25 point difference. That's another 11th place finish for me. And I'm like, oh, that was so rough. I didn't even know. I was out to dinner and I wasn't really like, or breakfast, I should say. And I was not checking, like, you know, like I was only checking the goals being scored. Yeah. So I completely missed that. It was, oh my God.
Disappointing for sure. But yeah, that was fantastic. And I personally didn't get to enter it because it seemed like by the time that I saw it on Twitter, I had already entered my lines, and I went to look, and the Wonder Strike was already filled up. Wonder Strike filled up early today. They should have had more entries, but if it was a Wonder Strike, if the Wonder Strike was open, I would have entered it, but I didn't have any lines in the Wonder Strike today. But I mean, how about Mo Salah, man, breaking the record?
Yeah, that was definitely – I saw some of your tweets, like – I heard that he got like bullied in the box a few times. Oh, like, he should have been like he should have probably had more than, I think he scored two goals, or he had one goal and one assist today. But yeah,
he got fouled once or twice, and there was a couple clear handballs. I mean, he should have got the penalty, but he got what he deserved, and he scored, and it's a good moment for him.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, being a Serie A fan too, it's very nice to see how he left Roma and he's still succeeding. And you know, I'm definitely a big fan of him. He's a class act. It seems like he's just a class act all around, and good for him. You know, and like I said, he was. I couldn't fade off him today in my big money lineups. I just couldn't fade off him. You knew if Liverpool's getting that penalty, he's getting that penalty like he has all year. You know, he's going to get the ball like a lot. You know that Liverpool, they wanted to win today. I thought Liverpool, like, if you were like betting straight up, I would put my whole house on Liverpool on, but I don't own a house, but still, you get the point. Like, I was like, Liverpool, I was all in on them today. I was like, you know what, they're gonna score, like, they were gonna win today. I just didn't see how they're gonna lose. On the other hand, Chelsea, I got Hazard at like 7% owned, and I'm like, oof, come on, Hazard. And yeah, he didn't come through at all. Newcastle, absolutely. I heard they just absolutely controlled that game, and that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, Chelsea got clapped today, but
yeah,
Patrick Van Aanholt today. I mean, he is on fire. 3 goals in 3 games, let alone a couple of assists.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was looking at him too, but he was 6K, and I was really looking to pay down at defender today and just totally, like, you know, load up on the forwards and the midfielders. And yeah, he went nuts again. I was looking at him too, and I'm like, 2 goals, there's no way he does it again as a defender. No. And
for goalkeepers, I just went Romero. I mean, got that clean sheet. I'm like, he's probably going to get a couple saves. I was thinking about 16-point performance, and I was just banking on a clean sheet. But he ended up getting a third save, got 19, solid. But for defense, I didn't even think about getting like a wing back or like an attacking wing back. I just picked, Wan-Bissaka. I mean, I looked at his numbers from this season. It seemed like he was 21, 19, 23, 21 every game, just off peripherals. So for 5K, he was an automatic lock for value at 15. I mean, he got, 13, 14 in the first half. So he locked that up really fast. Then Mings, Bournemouth defenders tend to do very well on a peripheral standpoint, especially those center backs. They're playing a five back today. And so for 4K, I was thinking maybe since they're playing a five back and three center backs, that tends to decrease the peripheral statistics from the center backs on a center back standpoint and increase the wing backs because they get in the attack more. But today, so I was hoping for maybe like 13 or 14, but he ended up getting around 18, I believe. So, good play. But, yeah, Patrick Van Aanholt, that was crazy. 6K, what did he end up with total points?
48.75. He was the nuts. The guy in first place, dude, he won the Wonder Strike by 25 points.
Holy cow.
He had 271. The next guy was at 247. So, he just totally wrecked the whole – I mean, I'll walk you through his team. He had Kane, Vardy, JBG, Moy, Mahrez, Van Aanholt, Mustafi, and Romeo. So, I mean, he hit on a lot of goals. He stacked that Leicester City Tottenham game. He had high exposure to the highest scoring game on the slate. I was looking at JBG too. He, you know, against Bournemouth, not a terrible play there. And Moy isn't terrible either. He had a decent matchup against an Arsenal team that struggles on the road, and he ended up hitting 18.75 on peripherals at 7K. This guy totally killed the Wonder Strike. It's a sunset 16-625. Yeah, I've never seen this guy, but yep, he smashed it today. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you what his name was, and I was gonna tell you before that. I can tell you this right now. It's a name that we have never heard of, because those players that win the Wonder Strike that have like an insane like whack team. It's the guys that they're gonna win it and they're gonna keep playing and they're gonna keep losing. Because they're going to be like, I won it that one time. I'm gonna play it again. But, I mean, they just kind of luck box their way into winning it. Because, there's no way that there was no rhyme or reason to that lineup. It is a 10-game slate. And that right there is exactly why I decided to just go single entry. Because I knew where the peripheral statistics were going to be. But, no one knew that Tottenham-Leicester game was just going to go bananas.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Is Leicester, there was never a thought in my mind to stack Jamie. I didn't even consider playing Jamie Vardy, even at his 8K price. Like I just didn't even consider it because I just felt like, you know, there's so many higher like ceiling players than him. Like, you know, he maybe pots a goal, but who cares if you hit one goal on this slate? You need to hit like four or five goals, you know, to at least have a chance. And, you know, Arnautovic for a reason, like, you know, 1,500 more. I'm going Arnautovic there. I'm sorry. He's in a way better spot, in my opinion. You know, I wouldn't, like, you know, if we were to talk this morning, I wouldn't say Leicester's going to score four goals today. You know what I mean? And, yeah, like you said, stacking Vardy, and like, it's a GPP play, but long term, like, you know, long, like, you're not going to make money off that stack every time like that. Especially with Leicester's recent form, too. Like, they, you know. They've been playing absolutely brutal as of late, and you know.
So you said he played Vardy and JBG.
Yeah.
That is a scary lineup. But I mean, it shows he won by 25 and had 271. That, I mean, sometimes you just kind of luck your way into that, but no correlation whatsoever. It's like NFL, like every night, like. You'll play in one of those big contests that you see the guy who wins it by 30 points, and you're like, what the heck? Who did he play? He played the wide receiver, or he played the quarterback, and he played the three wide receivers for the other team, didn't even play a single wide receiver for the quarterback's team, and played the defense of the defense that the quarterback was playing. So basically, everything didn't add up, but somehow it worked out. So it's just one of those plays where.
Yeah. You see that in hockey, too, sometimes. Like, you know, you're supposed to stack a full line in hockey, and you'll see, like, these random lineups. They just hit every goal, and, like, you know, the unassisted goals, and it's like, what, like, where, like, where's your bankroll? Like, do you play like this every night to just throw a bunch of, like, oh, I like this player here, I like this player here, like a bunch of
like lineups that you just scroll through to click just to enter the contest in time. Like, you have 5K left there, right? You don't even care. You're just scrolling and punching.
Yeah, so, like, you know, and, you know, probably he won, you know, but I'm sure we probably won't see this guy on top very much if he's playing like that. Because Leicester was not in a great spot today, in my opinion. You know, I'm sure if you looked at over-under on that game, it probably was nowhere near where it was. It's just, you know, it literally, like, the last game week, I saw a stat on it. There's just sometimes there's just crazy amount of goals in certain games. It's just the last game week. Teams play loose, and, you know, and I think that's where this guy ended up making his money. But, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. So I was looking the Wonder Strike has definitely decreased in this prize pool, but I think next year they'll start it off with it being the how it used to be. I mean, at the beginning of the season, there were 3K entries. Like, you could enter up to 3K. Top payout was $1,000. It's cut in half now. Top payout is $500. It's just, it seems like kind of the soccer pool. What tends to happen, I feel, is it starts off, people get into it, then they realize they're just like, this is not for me. Because the beginning of the season is when I mean, I'm not trying to sound cocky, but the beginning of the season is where you just feast on everybody. I mean, it's just easy. The prices are all out of whack. It's just like, I think the beginning of the season was just, I mean, as easy as it got, and it gradually got harder. But next season probably gonna be the same. But hopefully they just start. Hopefully they put that Wonder Strike back up to 2.9 or 3K entries, whatever it was. And but other than that, I thought the contests overall this year for FanDuel were great. They added in multiple contests. They did Beat the Score. They're doing great. They're changing up different things. $12, $7 single entries were great additions. The $25, 23 people contest was great. I'm just gonna keep my eyes peeled for World Cup, man.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, you know, soccer is definitely going to be coming. I think next year it's going to be a lot better. I think they're going to come out with, like, you know, I like their single entries. But earlier on in the year, I was never really a shark. I'd play those single entries every once in a while, and then, like, you know, just to like kind of play for enjoyment. But then I realized how, like, dude, you could feast on some of these people on this. Like, they just, like, I don't know where they get their information from or what Kool-Aid they're drinking sometimes, but, like, yeah, you know, you could really feast off some people, because they just, a lot of people chase goals, and it's just not how, like, you know, like, you, exactly. you and I, we look at peripherals, we look at, you know, we look at players that are going to have that solid floor, you know, like, a lot of people will be scared to play center backs against, like, good teams or something. It's like, no, you want to play those, like, center backs against the Harry Canes, and because, you know, he's throwing a lot of shots on net, it's blocks, it's interceptions. Like, you're going to win tournaments off of, This is a really good. You're gonna win tournaments off defenders scoring goals, but you're not gonna make money off chasing goals on defenders. Like, you're just not long term over the season. If you're like, oh, I'm gonna play Nathan Ake and hope he scores this week, you're not gonna make money off that. You have to realize, I want this defender to have 10 blocks today. Like, I like, you know, I want to, like, what team is gonna throw a lot of shots on net? What team gives away a lot of peripherals to defenders? Like, you know, it's happened throughout the year, and you got to see patterns like that. Like, you, if you're going to chase wingback goals all the time, you know, you're not going to make the money in the long term. I just, you know, you can flip a coin every week if you want to. I mean, it's up to you, but I think you got to play those center backs. You know, I am a big wingback fan, but that's in, like, if I'm throwing some random lines together, I do like, you know, picking players that are going to have that safe floor, as especially in the defense. If you can hit 20 points out of two defenders and the rest of your team goes off, you're going to be cashing all the time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm a big peripheral guy. I'm all about the peripherals, and what tends to happen, I mean, believe it or not, normally the guys that get all the peripherals are going to be the ones that are going to get, they're going to contribute in the goals, because they're going to be the ones that are creating the chances, getting the shots on goal. So normally the guys that, if you just target the peripheral statistics, I mean, the goals will come with it, because those are like Fantasy Premier League, it's the website that I play. I mean, you get you get credit for goals and assists and clean sheets. That's it. Nothing else. No peripherals or anything. So then, I mean, you could look at Jamie Vardy and be like, wow, this guy's phenomenal. I'm definitely going to get him. But if you know FanDuel, you're going to be like, okay, look at his peripheral statistics. He's not doing much in the games, but yeah, he's scoring. He's got to be careful. But if you look at someone like Christian Eriksen, those assists are going to come. He's creating loads of chances, and like players like Willian. So yeah, those underlying stats. If you have a good grasp of the matchups, underlying statistics, formations, and just the point system in general, I could rant about this all day. But those, I mean, the peripherals bridge into goals and assists, and that's what I did today. My lineup was peripheral. I mean, Kane, Arnautovic, peripheral. Hinman was just peripherals. I mean, just try to get him in midfield value play. Mkhitaryan, 20, hasn't got a goal or an assist in the last three games. Pick them peripheral reasons. Defenders. I mean, that's just – I just chase after those center backs. And occasionally I'll play an outside. I mean, Wan-Bissaka was the outside back to play today, but yeah.
Yeah, he's had a great year. I remember playing him a few times this year, and he was always had that really – he creates a lot. I think how many – you know, he had 8 tackles, one chance created. You know, he creates – he's had a good floor when he started most of the time, and I think he was a great play at 5K. You know, if he hits that 20.4 times value, you're going to be – like, and especially at 5K on this big of a slate, you can start paying up for your forwards. You're going to make money off that if he's hitting 20 points.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And – I can't tell you, man, the excitement that I get when one of my defenders scores. I think it has happened. It has happened a handful of times this year. When I say a handful, that is not something to brag about at all. When there's been 100 slates, so definitely not proud about that. But the last one that I can remember is James Tompkins heading. He had 47 points, I think, 27 on peripherals, and he had that goal. And that made my day. I was actually, I was at an amusement park, and I look at my phone and it said James Tompkins goal. I was like, I gotta pinch myself. This can't be true. One of my defenders just scored.
So. Go buy a lotto ticket. Let me tell you that much. It's like, especially as a central center back, it's like, oof. Go buy that lotto ticket.
Yeah. So I actually started off the season. Now that I think about it. This is before I started even providing or anything like that. I actually my very first lineup that I played this year, I was looking at it today on the way home. Ahmed Hagatsi, do you remember him scoring that heading goal for West Brom?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
He got like 42. Yeah, he got 42 points, I believe, on the first game. And yeah, so I started off the season. I'm like, this is gonna be the year where I get some luck with these defenders. But unfortunately, I did not. But every now and then, you know, Champions League. All right, Champions League I actually have, but that's pretty common. I mean, you have your Dani Alves, you have your Marcelos, your Kazawas, those guys who get – I mean, I didn't – did you play Kazawa when he scored that hat trick?
No, God, no. I think I lost so much money that day because I just – I whiffed and then whiffed on the defenders too, and yeah.
Yeah, that day was pretty bad from a GPP standpoint if you didn't have Kurzawa. So not too often a defender throws up 70-plus points.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, when I started seeing some defenders scoring and my defenders weren't scoring, I'm like, this is where, like, you know, I got to make up something here. I have to get my defenders to do something because I don't think I even had an assist from a defender today. I played mostly the same defenders. But yeah, the defenders really. That's another reason why you have to play cash too. I think, you know, especially if you're managing a bankroll, because, you know, in cash that defender goal isn't going to kill you because you know you got the top 50% winning. But when you're in a GPP, you're going to lose more money if you don't have those goals. Let's just say 3 or 4 defenders score on a slate and you don't have a single one, you're not going to ship. I'm sorry, it's you have no chance of shipping if you don't have a defender that scored. It's just like 3 or 4 defenders, and that's why you should always play cash and not just sit here and, you know, try to chase those big money prizes too.
Yeah, exactly. There's actually a big course of this year where I said, okay, I'm gonna buckle up. I'm gonna realize that I'm not about to make. I'm maximize my profit. Surprisingly, I'm not trying to maximize my profit right now. I'm going to spend probably 10 to 12 weeks straight just trying to master the art of multi-entries. Yeah, I started to, I lost a little bit of money at the beginning, but then bam, big payday, like $300, $400, and then start to lose money, then bam. I mean, that's one way you can go. It's not really what I like. Like you said, you like going with cash. You know, it's more steady and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I definitely am glad I did it. It taught me a lot about this. I mean, this I'm just reviewing this year, but it taught me a lot about this year how to target games individually. Because I mean, GPP multi-entries, you're targeting individual games. And it's taught me how to be better even at two game slates because you're just targeting two games. So I think, I mean, doing that, yeah, I definitely – there's a bulk of the season where I played zero cash contests, which usually isn't going to be great for your profit. But, I mean, I'm proud. I'm happy with what happened this year. I'm happy with my ROI. I'm happy with my profit on the year. And I've had some – I mean, I ended today with making quadruple – of what my entries were, and yeah, it was just a solid day, and just I learned a lot, multi-entries, cash, and so I think next year I'll have the bankroll, and I'll have the bankroll to do both multi-entries and cash. So I think it'll be from game week 1 to game week 38. I think it's going to be one hell of a year next year.
Yeah, because you know, and this actually goes back to last Wednesday slate. When Mavro got sent off 13 minutes into the game, I had him in – I played around six GPP lines. I had him in 5 out of 6 of my GPP lines. And yeah. I played $30 that day, and I was like, holy hell, dude, I'm going to lose all this. But luckily, my cash line came out. Kane scored. I ended up making like $12 back, which, I mean, still, you know, I'm losing $20, but still, it could have been a lot worse where, you know, I minus 100% ROI easily if, you know, if I'm only playing GPPs with Mavro and he gets sent off. Like, you know, that's negative 3.5 points. He's not making that up either to where, like, I played cash. I didn't play him in any cash line. And then I ended up still, like, you know, making some money back, which I totally made back today. And I actually didn't play any cash today because I literally woke up and I was like, oh, I woke up around like 40 minutes before lock and I'm like, oh my God, there's 10 games I got to deal with right now. And like, I couldn't enter anything else. I was just trying to grind out my, because I wanted to make a good line today for everybody too that I ended up sending out. And like, you know, I didn't want to send out some crappy old line that wasn't going to end up cashing. So, you know, that's where I spent most of my time today. I probably spent 20 minutes making that line.
Nice. Yeah. I got screwed with Mavro. I lost a decent amount of money that slate because of Mavro getting that red card. But yeah, I mean, whenever I lose, it sucks. But I mean, it's set in Mamba mentality. You gotta have that killer mentality. That the beginning of I've learned it. I've learned over the course. I mean, if you just kind of drown in the loss of just, oh man, I just lost, like, I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere. When I lose, it's just like, okay, next slate, I'm going to kill it. And then, next slate, just go out and kill it and make that money back. And if you don't make it money back, you make it the next week. And, if it's starting to get to where you're losing all your money, I mean, then you can reconsider. But if you're good enough to win, I mean, you're not going to win every slate. You're going to have some slates that you're going to get screwed over. You're going to have some slates that you're going to lose just because you didn't make a good lineup. I mean, you got to admit, sometimes your lineups just, I mean, they're crap. Even if you don't get screwed over by FanDuel, sometimes it's just the games don't go the way you think. I mean, you're gambling on how the games you think the games are going to go, and you know, sports like today 5-4. I mean, you never know that's going to happen. So
definitely, I agree with you that on that too. Like,
for next year, you lose, man, just bounce back.
Oh yeah, that definitely did. Like this past 2 weeks, when I finally got back onto the grind, I was just like, I'm taking this down, and if I'm not, on to the next slate. So, you know, I like last Sunday I played decently. Like, you know, I started getting through a few of the Wonder Strike, won that decent amount ROI. And then on Wednesday, I'm like, all right, I'm doing this again. I'm going to play a little bit heavier. Ended up losing some, but I was like, all right, Sunday, big game. This is it right here. You know, throw up all, like, you know, and just confidence is key. If your gut's telling you, you know, if you think, like, you know, today, if you thought Swansea was in a great spot, you were not thinking stupidly. They, you know, they were going to have to throw their guys forward. I played a line with both of the IUs in my line, because I'm like, you know what? You never know. It's Stoke. Yeah. They allowed, what, six goals to Man City earlier in the year? I'm not saying Swans is a Man City, but, you know, they throw up 3-4 goals. They can, most definitely. Butland made 9 saves today, you know? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of shots right there. And when I sat down, I sat down. I played them. That was a single entry. That was one of my fade Salah lines. I, like, completely went crazy with, like, and I ended up playing both of the IUs together. And I'm like, oh, you know, you never know. And, you know, getting crazy with your lines like that and just feeling like with your gut. I was on Swansea a lot. And I thought they were in a great spot, like you said. Like, you know, you, I think you said you had Jordan, right? And, you know, Andre scores. It's, yeah. You know, you can't kick yourself over that. It's you know, I think they were in a fine spot today playing a very weak Stoke side that had nothing to play for, the worst defense in the league. You know, if your gut was telling you to play them and they didn't end up doing good today, don't kick yourself over it because you were right. They were in a great spot today. They were going to go all-out attack, I thought. And Butland ended up making 9 saves, which is why you should have hedged with Butland, sometimes hedging with a lineup like that and, you know, not playing any Swansea players will help you out.
Yep, I agree, man. Seems like I'm just gonna start telling the public whatever IU I play, you just gotta play the other one. Because I play Andre, Jordan scores. I play Jordan, Andre scores.
Yeah, it's nuts. I've had that a few teams too. It's just like you play like the player, like, you know, you play Sterling, Sané scores. You play Sané, Sterling scores. It's like, you know, I can't catch a break right here. Come on, like, you know, you play KDB. Next thing you know, the front three is going off, and it's like, you know, sometimes you can't just kick yourself over that. You pick the right team. You know, some players are sometimes in better spots than others, but you know, you can't kick yourself over picking the right team sometimes, and they score 5 goals, and you only have a goal out of it. Like, you just can't kick yourself over that.
Exactly. So I got a couple questions. So first one, what is your most memorable moment of the year so far from a DFS standpoint?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I have to say, I think it was back in. I would say this past week, honestly, because this is my best week of, you know, ROI definitely, and just I played more than I usually did because I usually only played, you know, this, like I said, the single entries, and then I'm like, you know, I got to get heavier here because, you know what, I'm starting to make some money. But I would say it was earlier in the year. I was playing the dollar single entry, and I just I think I finished like 7th place in it, and I wanted to play Heung-Min Son, but it was Tottenham was playing earlier in the week in the Champions League, and I was like, oh, I can't play him. Didn't play him. Ended up finishing 7th, and I would have shipped it. And this year, I did not ship a single. I guess this is kind of like my moment. I did not ship a single tournament, but I think I finished 2nd or 3rd, probably in about 4 or 5 of them, like the single entries. It was like I could never ship. It was like, you know, clean sheets kicked me out one time when Salah scored that penalty. It was like in January. I had Milner and Salah were fighting over the penalty, and I'm like, oh, give it to Milner. This is it right here. I'll be up by 20 points. Salah ends up taking it, and he had, like, no points that time. But, yeah, I would say just this past week, though, really getting back into it, it was so much fun, you know, and I would say it was probably, like, I know it's so recent, but I would say this past week was probably my highlight of the year. What about yourself, Monty?
That's awesome, man. That's the way to go. My highlight of the year was – this, man, I think this is embarrassing to say, but Andy Carroll, man, that guy, that one game he had, I played him one time this year, and he had, I think, 2 goals, and he was, like, 1% owned, and he shipped me some stuff, or shipped me, I forgot what contest it was, but I won a lot of money that day. It was earlier in the season, and, yeah, that was a highlight of my year. I think just because, I mean, it was Andy Carroll, and, yeah, I have this screenshot somewhere, but God, I was not expecting him to help me win a tournament. Today, actually, this final day was also another memorable moment. I took down the $12 and $7 tournament. I think the Andy Carroll one's just it's got it this year because that just made my day, and happened again. Andy Carroll's winding down for sure, but it was awesome. How about what I know you know what my least favorite experience was this year, but what's your least experience this year?
That's a tough one. I know what you're talking about. It's very recent too. I'm trying to. It was probably I would say like almost the whole month of February was just my whole down. I don't think I was looking through, if you go on a Roto Tracker, I was clicking through my whole like soccer year. You know, January was pretty good. I had some good tournaments there. Earlier in the year, I had pretty average ROI, you know, just like, you know, I made money. But I think the whole month of February, I think I lost like, you know, $60 just off contest. And I was looking at my graph, and that was probably just a low point of my entire like year. It was just, I don't know what it was. You know, maybe it was with Champions League. Some teams were playing Champions League and stuff like that. And I don't know what it was, but that was my low point of the year. I just like was losing so much money. It was probably school too, but it was just, I was running cold. And like, you know, when I run cold, I try to play sometimes too much to where it's like, Nick, you just take a break. Just take one, you know, take a break, play light, like play maybe one line just to say, oh, okay, I would have played this line. But like, you know, I think I tried like going above and beyond, playing too much of the Wonder Strike, like, you know, and sometimes, like you said, like sometimes you're just picking garbage lines and you're just trying to make excuses for it. But you're just playing garbage lines. That's all it is. And I just think I was playing garbage line after garbage line. And I was looking at Roto Tracker today and I'm like, Jesus. I lost $60 in the month of February. Like, you know, oh my. And then for my bankroll, it's just like, wow. Like, you know, that's not good. But what about your, I could predict yourself. It happened Southampton, Everton, right? Emphasize on that.
For a difference of about $300-something. So that was very disappointing. But, you know, bounce back today. So,
yeah.
Whatever. Thank you. But that's what I'm saying. I knew, like, this season's about to be over, but I'll have a bounce back, and it came today.
Did you order a Tom Davies jersey off DH Gate or something like that? Like, you know, big Tom Davies fan.
Yeah, if I got that Tom Davies jersey, it would be, I would get some oil along with it and get some and light that shit on fire.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. That was, you know, when you called me, I was like dying of laughter. I'm like, oh my god, this guy just like, what happened? Because I was watching it and I'm like, huh, that's a crazy goal. Of course, they scored on like the last minute, and they're like, I had McCarthy and I would have shipped. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, dude, I had to rant. I was like, oh my goodness, that was whack. Not a good day at all. But you know, it happens. That was definitely my least favorite moment. Trying to think of something else I could outline on the year. Who do you think you played the most in general in EPL? If you just had to guess, who do you think saw your lineup the most?
Oh, I think I've never gone to slate. I think Harry Kane. I was a big Harry Kane guy this whole year. Yeah. And I wasn't big enough on Salah, I guess, because I remember some slates. You know, I just played Harry Kane, and Harry Kane had a good year, but I felt like, you know, some games he really just, like, he really shafted you, you know what I mean? Like, he just totally, like, he did not hit value, because, you know, he's always up at that 13-14K range, and, you know, I would say, like, you know, on the other side of that, the least played player I played, I'd fade Salah a lot. Like, I don't know what it was sometimes. You know, I faded Salah a lot, and it's scary fading him, and, you know, and the next thing you know, you know, that one game.
I think that's your problem, man. I think that's your February problem.
No, that's serious. Didn't he have that Watford game? That game against Watford when he had, what, 90-some-odd FanDuel points?
Yeah.
I think I only played him in, like, one of my lines. And I think that might have been in February. Or that was probably my low point. You want to talk about a low point? Yeah. Not playing Salah when he went off against Watford. He had, like, that 3 goals or whatever, 4 goals, 1 assist. Yeah. I was like – I had Firmino and Mane that day, actually. I stacked up on Firmino and Mane, and Salah was just going down. And I was like, and I got who scored, and it's like, goal, Liverpool. I'm like, oh, sweet, sick. Maybe I got something. Salah from Alexander Arnold. I'm like, oh my God, really? And then, like, every goal just kept running in, and I probably got like 3 goals/assists off that. But, you know, Salah had 5 goals/assists. So I was like, oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Not a good day.
So, I've learned, whenever someone like that, I don't care the price. I'm just gonna plug them in because, I mean, I'm gonna be kicking myself if I fade someone like that and they kill. But I will not be kicking myself if someone like Salah blanks. It's like, okay, that's, I mean, it's a smart play. It's gonna be a rare occasion that he blanks, given how good he's done this year. So I just kind of plug him in, given whatever the price is. If I do see it fit, I mean, it's a rare occasion. Sometimes, like today, you could have – there are so many pivots you could do. Yeah, you could argue for pivots. I mean, you could argue to fade anybody on the slate today, just given the amount of players. I mean, you could have faded Kane and Salah and still cashed. So I mean,
the winner didn't even play Salah, people. Just to let you know, the winner didn't even play him. So
exactly. I mean, it all depends on the slate, but with a 5-game slate and Salah at home, that's not a game I'm gonna be looking to fade. But Salah on the road, yeah. I mean, even though he scores a lot, I mean, if you look at, I think his probably last 10 games, he had several games where he put up like 24, 25, which for his price, I mean, you can find better value elsewhere. Unless, I mean, there's not that many goals on the slate, but yeah.
That's really what it comes down to, how many goals are on the slate. Value only will take you so far if,
exactly,
you know, sometimes you need that 30-point guy because he's the only 30-point guy on the slate to win the slate. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it's not going to be as long of a summer as it would be if the World Cup wasn't going on, but this is going to suck. Waking up on Saturday and at 9 o'clock when lineups would normally be posting, just have nothing.
And speaking of the World Cup, I messaged FanDuel today. I told you, and they sent me a maybe gift. Like this guy winking with a maybe, and I'm like, oh come on now, just tell me yes or no. You know, because if they bring back the World Cup, I'm gonna love it because we're gonna be able to keep talking soccer and all that kind of stuff and World Cup, and I'm excited because, you know, this is a good thing for me. I think, you know, with Italy, you know, I'm always rooting for Italy. They're not in this World Cup, so I got no bias. I'm gonna be looking at this slate, and I got no favoritism. Like, you know, if Italy was playing, I'd be picking all their players, but like, you know, I don't got any bias now in this World Cup, so I think, you know, I can nail it. Well, you know, so. Hopefully FanDuel does it because, you know, DK is not my cup of tea, I think. I think I've given up on DK soccer for a little bit.
Yeah, I've never had a DK account that was actually verified or whatever because I was always underage playing DFS. And I would always just kind of have to – I would make fake accounts or whatever, which is stupid because you have to have an actual account to withdraw your money. So I lost money. I mean, I played last year. And I could never withdraw it. So this year, I just spent my brother made an account, and I've just been using his. But yeah, I haven't even bothered with DraftKings. It's just, I don't know. I just don't. I think FanDuel's got it down pat with their point system. I think it's just, I don't want to fix it if it's not broke. Yeah, the contests aren't as good as DraftKings, but I'm sticking with FanDuel. I would not be going to DraftKings anytime soon. The only way I'd go to DraftKings is if FanDuel just said no more soccer and just went kaput, but that will not happen. So
yeah, I think, I mean, if FanDuel doesn't do World Cup this year, maybe I'll throw a few bucks in the DraftKings, but I'm not going to go nuts because I have had some okay finishes in DraftKings, but you know, I'm not going to try to throw all my bankroll at, you know, DraftKings soccer on 3-game slates that they're going to have, you know, so
yeah,
because I was looking at the World Cup schedule too. They could have some decent slates, like, you know, 3-4-game slates. It's going to have a spread out time. I know that much, but
it's going to be a pain in the ass though, because the games are going to be like 9 a.m., 12, and 2. So you're going to have to be like on top of lineup predictions and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, if it's soccer and it keeps me away from MLB, which is like a dumpster fire for me, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah. I personally don't have that problem because soccer, if it's not soccer, if it's NFL, if it's not NFL, I'm not playing DFS. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, I might have to join your boat there. It's a smart way to play. It's bankroll management. If you're not making bank, you know, don't play. Like, just relaxed, you know.
Yeah. If FanDuel doesn't make World Cup contest, I'll probably end up just putting FanDuel in a folder in my phone that's like in the last page of my phone, and just taking a break. I'll definitely be researching like the new teams that are coming in, Wolverhampton, Cardiff, and then whoever wins that playoff, looking how they play. What I'll definitely be doing is looking at statistics from the championship and looking at those defenders. clearances, blocks. I mean, you know, you saw Brighton last year. I mean, I knew Brighton coming into this season. They had, even last year, they had a lot of blocks and clearances. So I'm like, coming in, these Duffy and Dunk are going to be two center backs that are going to be, because they started off the season pretty cheap. And I knew, I mean, just coming, like, those are the players that no one really knows about. But if you just look at the stats from last year, we'll make a podcast later to where we discuss the newly promoted teams, and I can go over statistics and stuff like that. And,
yeah, most definitely. If, like, you know, you can expect some content out of us this summer with, you know, summer signings, newly promoted teams, you know, maybe some strategy, you know, how we attacked, you know, maybe we'll go back into, because FanDuel lets you go back into your all your contests, and maybe we'll look back and think about, like, you know, why did we pick this player over that player, like, you know, and we'll talk through why, how we build our lineups, basically. And I think that would be really helpful over this summer to just, like, you know, get our strategies get going, and, you know, and help out people too with, you know, how we pick teams and how we are able to, you know, cash and lineups and, you know, bankroll management and all that kind of stuff. I think we can definitely try to bridge that over the summer if, you know, FanDuel Soccer for World Cup doesn't come out.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, I feel like if FanDuel wasn't going to come out with contest, they wouldn't be saying maybe. I feel like they'd be saying no. Sorry. Or, I mean, I don't know.
Or like we're going to pass it on to the dev team or something like that, and we'll get back to you. Like, you know, yeah, what I mean? Exactly. Like something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're saying maybe, make sure you keep your eyes open on the contest. I mean, when they say make sure you keep your eyes open in contest, that's really hinting at the fact they're going to make the World Cup contest. So I think they will. It's just going to be interesting. It's going to be basically like Champions League, like, yes, it's going to be, yeah, like, we kind of know what's going on, but not everyone, I mean, no one really knows about, like, that random Champions League team. You're just going off of what you do know, and that's the point system of FanDuel and what people typically do. Like, those cheap midfielders, box-to-box midfielders, you're going to be targeting those guys. You don't even know who the guy is. Like, I think it was, do you know who Seri Dai plays for?
Yes, he plays for Basel in the Swiss League.
Yeah, me and Halsey played Seri Dai when he was 4.5K. I've never even heard of him, but he put up like 16.
Yeah, he's a defensive midfielder, right, I think?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, just knowing the point system of FanDuel is going to be critical for these World Cup contests. And, you know, I think the very first slate for the World Cup, Egypt plays first and at 9 a.m. So, you know, Salah is going to be probably
he's
going to find a way to be 101% owned.
Yes.
They're going to make a solid clause to where everyone on the slate has them plus their dog.
Yeah. It's going to be like, all right, everybody owns Salah. It doesn't even matter. He could throw up 0 points. He could, you know, he could walk off the pitch right now, and it won't affect the contest because so many people will own him. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the World Cup because I think it's going to test a lot of people's knowledge on, like, soccer. Like, I like, you know, I watch almost every single league. I love watching the Champions League, like, you know. But you're going to see a lot of these players from, like, Saudi Arabia or, like, you know, like, I'm trying to think who else. Maybe, like, Australia. Yeah, Australia's in there. Peru. Like, these players that people have never seen in their life play now. And you're going to have to do your research, look into what formation Peru plays. Because a lot of teams have international friendlies coming up. In like early June, right before the World Cup. And that is games. If you're going to play the World Cup contest, watch those games. They're going to give you so much information on how coaches are going to play players. You know, some players are going to be playing wing, but they usually play striker at their club. So, like, you know, you got to be on the lookout for that kind of stuff. Cause Mo Salah is a prime example. They might just throw him up top and, like, as a lone striker. And, you know, I can't think of, like, Egypt's group right now, but, you know, he doesn't have the Milner or the Oxlade-Chamberlain or the Firmino playing with him now. So, like, you know, you gotta watch these friendlies. You got to look into them. You know, download the Who Scored app. Download, like, you know, whatever apps that give you the formations, and look at these formations and see where you're going to be able to hit. Like, you know, what players are switching up positions because, you know, you can't have Icardi, Messi, Papu Gomez, like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't have four strikers playing on the pitch. Like, somebody's going to be playing right wing, who usually doesn't play right wing. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting with the World Cup.
Dude, it's going to be so much fun. I mean, you're going to be, I mean, you and I and everyone else, we're gonna learn so much about these players. I mean, we're gonna. I bet you by the end of the World Cup, we can name you the Peru starting 11. I mean, just something that you know, you never thought you'd know. But just playing fantasy, you learn a lot about players. And it's going to be very fun to play. Playing Messi, playing Ronaldo, playing those guys are always fun to play because we're so used to playing Premier League guys. So playing Champions League in general is just, it's just soothing. Playing other players that aren't in the Premier League, it's just cool playing your Messis, playing those guys, Griezmann, Higuain, those kind of players. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. I love playing Champions League. I love being able to play, my Juventus and Roma teams. You know, just being able to pick some, Florenzi. I love Florenzi so much. I'm a big fan of the guy. And I always, even though, I throw a line in with him because, I know how much I love the guy. And it's going to be really fun, really cool, and hopefully profitable for us too, right? We're going to make some money off of it too, obviously. But
damn right. If we're playing, we're making money.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I think the World Cup actually starts a month from tomorrow, I believe, the 14th. I believe June 14th is the first game.
Oh, that's awesome. So, let me double check that. I think
I thought I looked at it. I'm going to look at it. World Cup 2018. It is, 6:14.
Right. So a month from tomorrow, that is big time. I'm looking forward to it.
And that Russia Saudi Arabia game, that should be a real, real barn burner right there, baby.
No one's even, that won't even be, that'll be a single slate if they even have it. But then, there's Egypt, Uruguay, Morocco. Ooh, Morocco, Iran. Man, that's going to be another barn burner.
But you're going to be able to get some real good, value out of that. I think Iran, speaking of Iran, I don't want to go too much in the World Cup, but actually they went undefeated in their qualifying stage, I believe they're one of the better, they got a weak, obviously a weak qualification, but they're undefeated, and it's soccer, and anything is possible in soccer. Remember that, anything is possible.
What I think I'll end up doing is, I'm just gonna go and kind of overview what I'm thinking for this first leg if they had it. So I mean, Egypt, Uruguay, probably stack that game in terms of defenders because who's gonna be starting in defenders, unless. Portugal, Spain, maybe that's more ideal. Yeah, you kind of know more Portugal, Spain too. But yeah, Egypt, Uruguay, it'd be you target two out of the three games because Morocco, Iran, I don't know. No one really knows anything about that. I probably won't. Cash, no. Portugal, Spain, I mean, Ronaldo, bam. I'm locking Ronaldo in already. I don't know. See, Spain, box-to-box midfielder, Isco or someone would be a smart play. So just
You could play Agassi. From Egypt, right? Isn't he? Yeah, he's Egyptian, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he is Egyptian.
So and Uruguay, very good team. I think Higazi will be able to get some great peripherals and stuff like that. I mean, considering Uruguay is probably the favorite in that group. That group is
Uruguay has Luis Suarez up top, so it's going to be a lot through the center of the park.
Yeah. But, I'm definitely looking forward to our World Cup preview. It's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun.
Hopefully FanDuel kind of release contests about maybe a week or two in advance so we can start previewing the slate with having the pricing and everything. So that's always helpful. But if not, we can always preview it without the pricing. It'll be good either way.
Yeah.
So I think my phone is on 2% and for some reason it will not charge while I'm doing a podcast. So I think we can wrap it up. We're reaching right around an hour. So I think it's a good place to wrap it up as well. So.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll see. Yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully about some World Cup soccer. I'm really looking forward to it. Like we said, and good luck to Liverpool in the Champions League. Hopefully you guys take down Real Madrid and their cheating ways. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
we don't want to interrupt.
Yeah.
Thanks for everyone for an awesome season. Premier League has been a magical season. Salah broke the record. Manchester City broke all sorts of records. So I think this is just a fantastic season. It's not even DFS standpoint, just a soccer standpoint. And I'm looking forward to what next year has in store. And now we will bridge into strategies and World Cup, and we will no longer be talking about Premier League. So thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys.
Talk to you guys later.